In 1974, Ellen Burstyn won an Academy Award for her role in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Hello.
As Alice Hyatt, her life changes radically when word of her husband's death reaches her by telephone.
This is his wife.
Oh, no!
When it comes to depicting sorrow, Ellen Burstyn has a natural advantage. She's lived it. Her memoir, Lessons in Becoming Myself, tells of an undermining mother, an absent father, transitory stepfathers, and broken marriages, her last to a man who became psychotic and took his own life. One measure of Ellen Burstyn's story is the number of names she's had.
I was born Edna Ray Gilluli, which was, Edna was my grandmother, and Gilluli was my mother's first husband, who was gone while I was still in the womb. Then she married Don Francemore, and I became Edna Ray Francemore until I was three. Then she divorced him and married Lou Schwartz. I never really became Edna Ray Schwartz for some reason. I reverted back to Edna Ray Gilluli. I stayed that until I left home and started modeling, and then I dropped my last name altogether, and I was Edna Ray. Then I did a screen test for 20th Century Fox and invented the name Erica Dean.
Erica Dean.
Erica Dean. That didn't last long. And then I became a dancer in a nightclub in Montreal and took the name, get this, Carrie Flynn. Carrie being spelled K-E-R-I. Cute, huh? And then I went back to Edna Ray. Mm-hmm. Then I married Bill Alexander and became Edna Ray Alexander. Then I married Paul Roberts, and I became Ellen McRae Roberts. But Paul Roberts' real name was Paul Robert Botstein. So technically, you could say I was Ellen McRae Botstein, but I was always called mm-hmm. Ellen McRae Roberts. And then my third marriage was to an actor, Neil Bernstein, and I became Ellen McRae Bernstein. But then he later took his grandfather's name and became Neil Burstyn. And I said, let's all have the same name, okay? And my son was one name, I was another, my husband was another. I said, let's all be Burstyn. That was in 1970, and I've stuck with that ever since.
So the process of Lessons in Becoming Yourself have been tracked pretty well by by a process of changing public identities quite often in your life and having them changed for you.
Yeah, well, I was a person in search of an identity for a long time. And I think actually when I became well known as Ellen Burstyn, the search did not end. I had that public persona, but the inner search for a deeper sense of self continued.
So let me ask you this. This is hypothetical, but do you think that if you had indeed studied acting with Lee Strasberg at the Actors Studio, as you did, and applied yourself to that task and perhaps read widely about human nature and personality and the spirit, as you have, but had you come from a family with a supportive mother, a constant, not abusive father, and not married someone who suffered from severe mental illness and ultimately took his own life, do you think you would be just as good an actress? Or is somehow the depth of one's personality and soul explored more broadly if you have this excessive amount of suffering, let's say?
I think that's the best question I've ever heard in my whole life. I ask myself that, or various forms of it, a lot. I know that I had an innate ability that I was born with, just like some people can draw better than others and some people can play music by ear. I had the ability, genetic or by whatever form that's passed on, to move my consciousness into the consciousness of a mythical or fictional character. The depth of the work, I think, was probably improved by the difficulties in my life. And I now, when I teach, I say to actors, the time will come when you will thank your mother and father or whoever it was that brought you up for your difficult childhood, because it all becomes fodder for your creative experience and expression.
I want you to describe a moment that you relate in your book when you were acting in The Last Picture Show, when you have to relate a true moment of of anguish or whatever. Well, as you say, it's a very complicated moment, and you have no lines to read at that moment. Oh, yeah. Explain to us what's happening.
Yeah, I played the character Lois Farrow, who's in a boring marriage, and she's sitting reading a magazine as her husband falls asleep in the chair. And then she hears the car drive up of her lover, Abilene, and she gets very excited, puts down her magazine, runs to the door, but before she gets to the door opens, and her daughter, Jacy, enters, played by Sybil Shepherd. And first Lois is disappointed that it's Jacy, not Abilene. Then she realizes that that was Abilene's car, and Jacy was with Abilene. And then she realizes, by looking at her daughter, that her daughter has just had sex with her lover. And her first reaction is jealousy and anger. And the second reaction is, my God, it's my daughter, and she's not a virgin anymore. And she runs to her. So as I was sitting on the set waiting for them to adjust the lights, I said to Peter Bogdanovich, you know, Peter, I have 8 different reactions here and no line to express them. And he got this really sly smile on his face. He said, I know. I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? And he said, just erase everything else from your mind and think the thoughts of the character, and the camera will read your mind. So that's what I did.
Now, that's a piece of guidance that on the stage, if we're sitting 50 feet away from you, we might not quite get that at that moment. But
that's right. No, that's film acting. That's really understanding that the camera is a mind reader. I remember when I was making Resurrection and we hired Eva LaGallion, the great stage actress, to play my grandmother. And it was her first film role. She was in her 80s then. And she started acting, and she had never acted for the camera before, and it was too big. Mm-hmm. You know, it was for the top balcony. And at lunchtime, I called Dan Petrie, the director, over, and I said, Dan, Miss LaGallion is acting too big. Go tell her she doesn't have to do all of that, just to think the thoughts of the character, and the camera will read her mind. And he said, you want me to tell one of the greatest actresses of the American theater how to act? I said, yeah, you're the director. Go do it. And he did. After lunch, she was absolutely acting for the camera. All of that stage projection was gone. At the end of the day, I said to her, you learn fast. She was 80 years old. She thumped me with her hand and said, well, I've been watching you, dear.
Well, Ellen Burstyn, thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you.
Actress Ellen Burstyn's memoir has just been published. It's called Lessons on Becoming Myself, and you can read an excerpt of the book at npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.